Meine Damen und Herren, ich freue mich, dass heute der NATO-Generalsekretär wieder einmal bei uns zu Gast ist, denn wir sehen einem NATO-Gipfel Anfang Juli entgegen. Ich möchte mich nochmal bedanken, dass Jens Stoltenberg auch bei unserer ersten Klausurtagung des Kabinetts war in Meseberg und mit uns diskutiert hat. Und heute war eben der NATO-Gipfel im Vordergrund. Die Tatsache bleibt, dass sich das Bündnis immer wieder auf neue Sicherheitssituationen einstellen muss. Und man kann auch sagen, dass sich die Ausrichtung der NATO nach den Ereignissen um die Annexion der Krim und den Angriff auf die Ostukraine doch erheblich verändert hat. Während vorher Einsätze im Mittelpunkt standen, ist es jetzt so, dass doch die Landes- und Bündnisverteidigung wieder sehr viel stärker im Vordergrund ist. Und das hat auch seine Auswirkungen auf sehr konkrete Projekte im Zusammenhang mit dem anstehenden NATO-Gipfel. Ich glaube, man kann sagen, dass Deutschland sich sehr stark in die Aktivitäten der NATO einbringt. Wir sind Rahmennation bei der sogenannten verstärkten Vorne-Präsenz in Litauen. Wir tragen unseren Anteil bei zu der Afghanistan-Mission. Und wir sind an vielen anderen Projekten beteiligt. Insofern ist Deutschland hier sehr aktiv und wir tun das auch sehr gerne. Wir haben auch unsere Ausstattung der Bundeswehr und unsere Beiträge für die Verteidigung erhöht. Manchmal erscheint das noch zu langsam, aber die Dinge gehen in die richtige Richtung. Und wir haben jetzt für 2024 einen Anteil von 1,5% der Verteidigungsausgaben am Bruttoinlandsprodukt gemeldet und damit auch ein starkes Versprechen abgegeben. Und insofern gehen wir guten Mutes zu diesem NATO-Gipfel und glauben, dass die NATO unter der Führung von Jens Stoltenberg doch erhebliche, konkrete Beiträge leistet. Das ist also wirklich nicht so, dass wir da einfach nur reden, sondern dass da echte Änderungen sind, an denen Deutschland, glaube ich, auch einen fairen Anteil hat. Deshalb nochmal herzlich willkommen und ich freue mich dann auf den Gipfel.
Thank you so much, Chancellor Merkel, Der Angela. It's always a great pleasure to meet with you and Germany's a highly valued and essential NATO ally, and you play a very important role in international peace and security. You lead our multinational battle group in Lithuania. You will host a new NATO command in Ulm, and you make major contributions to NATO operations from Afghanistan to Kosovo and the Aegean Sea. We just had an excellent discussion to prepare for the NATO summit in Brussels next month. We agree that we must continue to increase the readiness of our forces to respond to the challenges we face. We also agree that our dual-track approach to Russia is the right one. Strong deterrence and political dialogue. Our dialogue with Russia is not easy. But the more difficult our relations are, the more we need dialogue. To increase transparency, reduce risks, and to continue to address our concerns about the situation in Ukraine, as well as about Russia's meddling in our domestic democratic processes. At the summit, we will also take decisions on fighting terrorism and projecting stability. We will launch a new training mission in Iraq to help Iraqis to stabilize their own country and make sure that ISIS does not come back. Our training mission in Afghanistan is another key contribution to the fight against international terrorism. And I expect that we will agree at the summit to extend funding for the Afghan forces to 2024. To support them as they create conditions for peace and reconciliation in Afghanistan. So NATO is addressing instability in our southern neighborhood, which is a root cause of the refugee and migrant crisis. We also discussed NATO's cooperation with the European Union, which has reached unprecedented levels in many areas, from our maritime operations to countering hybrid threats and cyber attacks. I will sign a joint declaration with Presidents Tusk and Juncker, setting out a joint vision on how NATO and the EU can work even more closely together in the future. And I welcome Germany's efforts to keep the momentum in our cooperation, because strong EU efforts on defence means a stronger NATO. Everything we do as an alliance relies on fair burden sharing. And after many years of decline in our defence spending, we are now seeing significant progress. All allies have stopped the cuts. All allies are investing more. More allies spend 2% of GDP on defence, and the majority have plans to do so by 2024. So we have come a long way, but we still have a long way to go. I welcome that Germany has stopped the cuts and started to increase, with a 6% real increase in defence spending last year. But I encourage you to do more and to make good on the pledge we all made on defence investment. German leadership is essential. We must do this for our own security in a more unpredictable world. Today, we see differences among our nations on serious issues, such as trade, climate, and the Iran deal. These disagreements are real. But despite our differences, we can and we must sustain the transatlantic bond, because it has ensured our security for 70 years, and it remains vital for our security. Chancellor Merkel, thank you again for Germany's outstanding contributions to NATO, for your strong leadership, and for your long-standing personal commitment to our transatlantic alliance. I look forward to continuing to work with you and to continuing to work with you as we prepare for the upcoming summit. Thank you so much.
Hi, Chancellor, Secretary General. It's a question for both of you. After the G7 summit, and looking at the current state of transatlantic relations, what is really at stake at the upcoming NATO summit?
Ich glaube, dass man an den Vorbereitungsarbeiten sieht, dass dieser NATO-Gipfel sehr feste Resultate haben wird. So ein NATO-Gipfel findet ja nicht nur an dem Tag statt, sondern der ist ja gut vorbereitet, jetzt auch das, durch das Treffen der Verteidigungsminister. Und deshalb glaube ich, dass es bei allen existierenden Meinungsverschiedenheiten ein sehr konstruktiver Gipfel sein wird, auf dem wir auch wichtige Entscheidungen treffen.
The summit provides an opportunity to show transatlantic unity, and to show that despite the differences we see on trade, on climate, on the Iran deal, NATO is able to continue to deliver credible deterrence and strong defence. And that's exactly what we have been able, what we have proven able to do over the last couple of years. We have implemented the biggest reinforcement of our collective defence since the end of the Cold War. We have stepped up the fight against terrorism, and we see that European allies are investing more in defence. At the same time, the US and Canada are increasing their presence in Europe. So when it comes to defence and security, when it comes to the cooperation within NATO, we don't see any weakening of the transatlantic bond. We actually see that the transatlantic bond is strengthened. And the summit will take decisions that further strengthen this transatlantic bond, both with higher readiness, with our training mission in Iraq, support for the peace process in Afghanistan, and also with renewed commitments to increase defence spending.
Secretary General, one question also concerning the summit and the situation after the G7 summit. How strong is your fear or your concern that US President Trump, again after what happened in Canada, is likely to, let's say, not destroy the summit, but at least like to lead the summit to another clash? How concerned are you about this? Und Frau Bundeskanzlerin, Sie haben gerade das Ziel von 1,5 bis 2024 erwähnt. Bisher ist dieses Ziel ja überhaupt nicht in der mittelfristigen Finanzplanung sozusagen unterlegt. Was werden oder werden Sie vor dem Gipfel noch konkrete Schritte unternehmen, um zumindest, sagen wir mal, die Richtung dieser Prozentzahl etwas stärker in Richtung 1,5 zu treiben, als das bisher der Fall ist?
I'm confident that the United States and also President Trump at the summit will once again reconfirm their commitment to the transatlantic unity and to the NATO alliance. Partly because this has been clearly stated by President Trump last time when I met him in Washington some weeks ago, but also because we see this on the ground with concrete actions. And actions speak louder than words. And we see the US commitment to NATO and to European security, not only in words, but also in deeds. Because after years when we saw a reduced US military presence in Europe, we now see an increase in the US military presence in Europe. And just since President Trump became president, we have seen a 40% increase in the US funding for US military presence in Europe. We see more troops, more exercises, more pre-positioned equipment, and the US is also leading one of the battle group we have in Poland. And I expect us to make decisions on increased readiness, on more joint activities, for instance, in fighting terrorism. So I'm confident that the President will come to Brussels in July, and that all the other leaders will also be there, and that we together will send a strong message of NATO unity. And we had, as the Chancellor just mentioned, we had a NATO defense ministerial meeting last week that made important decisions, and they show that NATO is delivering on security, on defense, despite the difference you see related to trade and other issues.
Ich kann dazu zwei Bemerkungen machen. Erstens werden wir ja noch vor dem NATO-Gipfel auch den Haushalt 2019 verabschieden. Und zweitens, wenn Sie sich einmal unsere Steigerungen, glaube ich, seit 2014 anschauen und die jeweils mittelfristige Finanzplanung dazulegen, dann waren die Steigerungen für das folgende und nächstfolgende Jahr nie abgebildet, wie sie dann real stattgefunden haben. Deshalb kann man aus der mittelfristigen Finanzplanung für fast kein Ressort im Übrigen wirklich auf 2025 schließen.
Thank you. I have a question also on defense spending. First from Chancellor Merkel. Do I understand you right that you don't think that the 2% goal, 2% of BNP goal is realistic for Germany to gain by 2024, like you agreed in Wales meeting, and for Secretary General Stoltenberg, is the goal of 2% of BNP an absolute goal, or is it more important how the money is spent?
Also die Vorgabe von Wales war ja, dass wir in den nächsten 10 Jahren unsere Verteidigungsbudgets in Richtung der 2% entwickeln sollen. Das tun wir unbestritten, obwohl wir realistischerweise, wenn ich es heute abschätzen muss, die 2% nicht erreichen. Und ich finde, man muss da jetzt auch ehrlich sein. Wir gehen in Richtung dieser 2%. Wir akzeptieren dieses Ziel, aber wir geben auch realistische Angaben. Und das Zweite ist, wir werden ein anderes Ziel erreichen, was auch die NATO ausgegeben hat, nämlich dass 20% der Mittel in neue Ausrüstung gegeben werden sollen. Und dieses 20%-Ziel werden wir erreichen.
We have to remember that back in 2014, when we made the pledge to increase defense spending, we didn't promise to spend 2% within a year. We actually made a decision in 3 steps. First, to stop the cuts. All allies, also Germany, has stopped the cuts. Second, to gradually increase. All allies have started to increase, including Germany. And then we promised to move towards spending 2% of GDP within a decade. The majority of the allies have put forward plans on how to reach the 2% of spending of GDP on defense, and more allies are already at 2%. I welcome the fact that Germany has stopped the cuts, has started to increase, and last year it was a real increase of 6%, which is significant. I encourage Germany to do more, because Germany is the biggest economy in Europe, so it really matters what Germany does. We need German leadership on this issue. We have turned the corner, we are moving in the right direction, but we still have a long way to go. Let me add that we promised to spend more and to spend better. But it's not either more or better. It's more and better, so we have to do both at the same time.